Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. I am going to take my time just a little bit this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend. We know that there are some folks that are out. You know, there was a time that it would affect me, you know, if people weren't here, and I took it personal, man. Yeah, I used to take it personal. I used to think, man, they really prefer going to the beach. They really prefer being someplace else. Then I realized, man, not everybody was had the same priorities as I did. And but my worship has nothing to do with who's here and who's not here. And because unless God shows up, you can have a full house but an empty heart. Amen. So you can have a full house. You can have all the people. Amen. And we have full houses here on Sunday. And, you know, God's blessed us. He has truly blessed us. But if we have empty hearts and we have spirits that are not full, then what good is it? Jesus has to be everything. Amen. Come on. Jesus has to be everything. And when Jesus is everything, my world is a lot better. When I'm walking in the rhythm of the Spirit, I'm walking in the rhythm of His Holy Spirit, it's everything. So here in Matthew chapter 11, in the Message Bible, your King James will read it just a little bit different. Is anybody in a hurry? Would you tell me right now who's in a hurry? I have an appointment. I got an appointment just like at 12 o'clock, 12:30. Anybody? Anybody have that? Oh, I'm not going to quit early. I just want to know so that if you walk out of my service, I don't make a point of it. So that's all, because I take things personal. So I'm a very sensitive person. I think everybody knows that by now. Amen. And so I wear all my feelings on my sleeves. Amen. Amen. But here, the reason why is I want to take my time here with a few scriptures, because we're talking about the unforced rhythms of grace, and we're talking about walking out, and really we're talking about how to walk out our life as a believer. And we are faced with some pretty daunting things in our lives. See, part of the problem is with myself is I don't sometimes realize how religious I am. I'm not talking about you. You don't have to get nervous. I'm talking about me. I sometimes don't realize how religious I am. I don't realize how I was raised, some of the teachings that I have, that I can really be narrow-minded. Amen? I can be so narrow-minded, it's like looking through a keyhole with both eyes. That's how narrow-minded I can be sometimes. And I can struggle between the two worlds. And I understand about that struggle, because I believe a lot of people struggle, because when you come to Christ, a lot of folks don't realize the great gift of grace that has been given to them through Jesus Christ. So what we are used to many times, we're used to religion. We're comfortable with religion. Okay? So when stuff like this happens, stuff like this happens, that's why you got some people who are like, what do you think I do that? And you got other people like, what's the big deal? Well, we're not condemning those individuals. I'm just saying, is we've got to have grace for everybody in the house. We're waiting for everybody to catch up to where. See, I can't wait till the day we're all on the same page. We're all on the same page, and when we're all on the same page, how that when we bring that spirit of unity together and we see the Holy Spirit do something. That means that what we want and what I realize that my religion sometimes keeps Jesus at bay. My religious form, my religious ideals, the way that I was raised, it keeps me yoked to things that are not Jesus. Because we live in a world to where you've got to earn everything. Amen? And if you're not earning it, then we sometimes struggle about feeling guilty. Amen? How many understands that word, guilty? Amen? How many have struggled with guilt and shame? See? Guilt and shame. Right? Because if your life's not perfect, and especially if you come to church and your life's not perfect, man, it's like struggling with the guilt and the shame that's there in our lives. See, and I want you today that if you are battling against the kingdom of God, we don't use that word a lot. You're a prodigal, or you are not walking real close to Jesus right now. I want you to know that there are people in this body who are saved people, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're struggling with guilt and shame too. See, sometimes the only difference between people in a body is that there's really a thin line, and sometimes people think there's this great big chasm that separates us. You know, the spiritual and the unspiritual. But the truth is that many times it's a thin line. Because what many people are able to do, many people are able... See, and let me say this to you. Some folks are just better actors than others. And some people, they cover up their junk. Amen? Amen. How many's ever covered up your junk? Amen? It's like half mass. When it really should be, ooh. Amen? Doesn't mean all the time, but we've learned to do certain things to cover up our junk. We've learned to cover up our shame. That's why that some folks who struggle, they struggle with defensiveness, that there are certain triggers in your life that if somebody comes along and pulls that trigger, or if you see somebody, or somebody says something to you, you're immediately defensive, you're immediately angry. If the preacher is preaching something that is opposite, or he is nailing where you're at, we can become defensive. And what we have learned to do, we've learned to cover those things up in church through religious forms and religious ways. We've learned to put on the face, the religious face. Everything is good. Amen. Everything is good. I'm good. How you doing? I'm doing good. How you doing? Oh, it's all good. You know you just lied. Because, you know, if you told them, I tell you, I had a terrible week, and I tell you what, I couldn't pay my bills. Amen. We hardly got any food in the cupboard. You know, I don't got no gas in the car. I don't even know how I made it to church this morning. And I've got this migraine headache, and I'm sitting here listening. This church is loud anyway, the music and the preacher. And you know you can't pour all that out because they're going to be like, whoa. Didn't ask for the whole garbage dump. Right? So we don't live in a body to where it's governed by Jesus. We live in a community and we have different zip codes in a church. That's why I kind of wonder why some of you sit in the same place all the time. I'm kind of trying to figure out the zip codes. Right? What was that Beverly Hills zip code? 902. What was it? 90210. That's Beverly Hills zip code. That's where the wealthy people live. Wilkesboro's 28697. kind of far from 90210. Large vastness there. But see, I think that when we realize that, that we come and that we live in different zip codes. We live in different areas in our lives. And even though that we come together, we have people who are living in different places in their lives. So you come to church, you come to that place. See, church should not be a place to where you come to find condemnation. This is not the place on Sunday morning. If you're looking for a church to beat you down, if you're looking for a church that is going to tell you about your sin and about you being a sinner, you're in the wrong place. That's not my responsibility. The Holy Spirit's responsibility. Look, you know when you sin. You know when you've done. Are you listening to me today? What we need is, how do we find the exit out of the issues in my life? How do I find myself? How do I move from this zip code to the zip code that I can move out of death and destruction, that I can move out of this place and move on up? Are you hearing me? So here's what we struggle with. We struggle with this place. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he says, are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? He says, come to me. Message Bible. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Can I say something to you today? Maybe we're spending too much time with the wrong things and the wrong people. Amen. I really do appreciate the head nods. I just want you to know that. Amen. If I can't get loud amens, I'll take the head nods. So I don't want you to know that I'm not unappreciative and I'm not unthankful. I really am. Amen. And I appreciate the couple of people who blinked their eyes three times. So I don't want you to think I am an unthankful pastor. I am very thankful. Amen? Amen? I'm very thankful. Amen? I just don't want any of that. He did not. Don't want that. Don't want that. But maybe the reason why is because we're spending too much time with the wrong people. But the reason why I think that we don't spend enough time with the Lord is because maybe we think that He doesn't want to spend time with us. Maybe the problem is that when we get alone with the Lord, we don't know what God's going to say to us. But you would be surprised that God is not looking to make your situation worse. God is looking to make your situation better. God is not looking to make you sicker and more depressed. God is looking to take you out of that place. But as long as you're yoked to that unbelief, as long as you're yoked to your doubt, as long as you're yoked to that religion, as long as you're yoked to your fear, but we say, man, how do I get rid of it? I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Because, see, we're caught between two worlds. We're caught between the natural world and the supernatural world because we're not trained to be supernatural people. Because we live in this natural world. Amen. We woke up with this natural body. There's a spirit man. I want you to know there's this beautiful Adonis living on the inside of this right here. The perfect man. Are you hearing me? There's a Superman living on here. There is a powerful man living on the inside here. There is a man here that has no physical limitations. On the inside of me, there is a man who is completely and divinely healed. On the inside of me right here, there is a man that has no need, no lack in his life. He has no needs in his life. That man lives on the inside of me. But the problem is that when I woke up this morning and I looked in the mirror, there I was. Hello. Hello, Mark. Amen? How many looks in the mirror and like, how did you get that old that quick? How many knows you look a lot older in the morning? Oh, some of you had a perfect opportunity right there. Like, I never noticed. Whatever. Amen? How many looks in the mirror sometimes like, Jesus, oh, Lord. Amen? You put on your clothes and think, man, these were loose last week. What the heck happened? On the inside, that's not who I am. But the problem is that I've got to look on the outside. I've got to look on that man on the outside. I've got to look on that man who is warring with sickness, who is warring with depression, who's warring with the problems of this life, warring with the issues of this life, warring with the problems that you may have with your children or your finances or your job. How many knows? But on the inside, there is a brand new man. On the inside of me, there's a brand new man that's trying to come out and live and exist in my life. He needs to be the larger man. He needs to be the giant in my life. But sometimes I'm like the children of Israel going into the promised land. I look up there and I look at my flesh and I'm like, whoo! He's big. Amen. How many looks at your flesh sometimes and you just say, it's just too big? Huh? Come on. I'm not going to stop preaching, so you might as well say amen. 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 Sometimes we look at our flesh and we think to ourselves, man, I want to do that. I want to be that. And there's those moments of clarity, those moments in prayer, those moments in the Spirit. The moments in Sunday morning, the moments when the presence of God, that's why when the presence of God comes upon us, we don't feel like ourselves anymore. We feel light. Here's the paradox. The heavier the Spirit is, the lighter my flesh. Come on, say it with me. The heavier the Spirit is, the lighter my flesh becomes. Some of you are waiting for a rapture. How about some of you have a rapture now? How about you get caught up with Him now? How about letting the Lord Jesus Christ come into you now? Amen. Look, we are waiting. He is going to come a second time in glory. He is going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's going to come in all power and might and glory in our life. But I want you to know that is a day that will be. But what about now? I need the King of Kings now. I need the Lord of Lords now. I need for Him to arise up in me now and to fight the battles for me now. Not someday. So I'm struggling here and now between eternity and the present. Eternity is magnificent. Amen? I mean, when you look at the book of Revelation, you're like, yeah, I can dig that. I can groove along with that. I can get really committed to that. I can get committed to heaven. I can get committed to the power and the glory that I see. But then we look in the mirror and we see now. Amen. Oh, don't you remember the day? Man, I remember. Jeez, I can't tell you. And I don't mean, I hope I don't sound like I'm, but I'm telling you, when I was younger, I was a beast. Amen. I was a beast. Just nothing. I was more brawn than brain, I can tell you. I didn't know how to go into situations calm and collect. Man, when I went in, it was kick the door down. Here I am. I'm the answer and solution for everything. I notice the older I get, I say please a lot more than I used to. And I say forgive you a lot also. Want to know why? Because what happens, and here it is, are you listening? When you're younger, this is not a throwdown. When you're younger, eternity don't really seem because, man, I'm enjoying life now. I got this young body. I'm anticipating driving and college and fun and having a good time. And I'm young now, and I feel good. When I get up, my bones don't go crack, snapple, and pop. Amen? How many feel like a box of Rice Krispies in the morning sometimes, right? When you're young, you don't have that. Right, Joe? You get up, man, you just get up. Hey! But now it's like, whoa. Give me a minute here. I'm going to sit inside the bed and just kind of gradually get up here. Okay? Okay? Then why are you talking to me? I have not had my coffee yet. I need a stimulant. I can't have an illegal stimulant, so I've got to have something legal. It's called coffee. How many hear what I'm saying to you? It's the difference between being young and difference in being old. And the older you get, eternity becomes more real. It becomes more. Yeah. It is. It is a hope to look to. But Paul said, I'm here in the now. Jesus knew this when he spoke to his disciples and he said to them, you're yoked to the wrong thing. You're yoked to religion. And you keep looking to religion to bring about happiness and satisfaction in your life. And religion is not getting it done. The form and the ritual is not getting it. It promises. See, the problem with religion is that it can look majestic, but it has no substance. Amen? We have learned how to put it on. That is religion. But religion is not what we need to put on. We need to put on the brand new man. That's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Wow. Are you listening to me? Here, Jesus gives us a simple revelation. Just a simple revelation he gives us right here. He says, you want to recover your life. You want your life back. You want your world back. You want your life. But what he is saying here, the problem is that you are pursuing everything else, but the one thing that you should be pursuing is time with me. Now listen to me, everybody listen for a minute. We make time for everything else. And we can't help it. Edgar came to my house yesterday, and I love the barter system. And so I had in my garage, I had a riding lawnmower. Okay. I know, I've got two beautifully healthy sons. There's one up here. Everybody say Matthew. And Steve is off in Heathenville watching basketball today. And so I got two grown sons who are strong, vibrant young men, okay? And they would say to me, Dad, hey, look, let's save some money. Let's save some money, and we'll mow the lawn, and we'll trim the yard. Woo! Hallelujah, Father. I got a strong witness on that right now. It has come to me, Father, that this is a mighty revelation. But here's the problem we have. We have their agenda and my agenda. See, I don't want to come out on the front porch and hear tigers and elephants and hippopotamuses running through my yard because they have mistaken my yard for the jungle instead of my front yard. If you've ever been to my house, my yard is manicured. It's there. And every house that I've had, that is the way that I live. When I come out of my sanctuary, I look out on my yard and I want it mowed. So that worked out for a little while. You know what the issue was? It's not because they didn't have the desire. It's not because my boys are lazy. They are the farthest thing from lazy. You know what the problem was? Time. Right? See, I want to climb Mount Everest. I want to swim the ocean blue. I want to build big buildings. And I hope that it all comes true. But the problem is time. Chronos versus Kairos. See, here again is where we're at. Jesus is saying, your problem is not Chronos. Your problem is you haven't set Kairos as your priority. Are we listening? Let me sit and talk to you for a second. See, we think, here's how we think. If, that's how long it lasts with me. Here's how it works. We think, we're like chess players. If I move this person here in my life, if I move this church, if I move this child, if I move these finances, if I bring this here, this is our life. How many knows this is your life? Moving this here. I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm moving this person. You have to go. And you're here and here. And we are just like, whoa. And then we become empty. I'll give you a better description, because he says here, take my yoke upon you, for it's easy. We begin to chafe. Anybody knows what that word is? See, chafe is the result of something rubbing together. How many's ever gotten chafed? We understand that word when somebody's in our life and they are, it's not a word we use all the time, but they are chafing us. They are, here's a more modern translation, they are rubbing me the wrong way. It's not only people. The fact of it is that it's circumstances and situations, because we are trying to work this out. We are trying to find that rhythm, that unforced rhythm. But Pastor, the truth is, it's never unforced. It always feels like it's forced, because I come to the place where I've been chafed, because I'm, why is this irritation? How many has ever just woke up and you're just immediately, nobody has said anything to you. Nobody has done anything to you. You're just immediately irritated. Immediately, can I tell you, maybe we need to stop and think. Maybe I am yoked to something I shouldn't be yoked to. Maybe I'm yoked to a circumstance and a situation that I shouldn't be yoked to. I never prayed about it. I never sought God about it. I just made that emotional decision that I wanted it. How many's got that feeling? I want what I want when I want it. Amen. How many hears it? I'm yoked to the wrong thing, and because of it, it's chafing my life. It's weighing me down. It's giving me that sense that I can't move forward. And Jesus says, stop. 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 Take it off. Take the yoke of whatever you're carrying off. Amen? See, take it off. What is going to happen here, Pastor? Well, what's going to happen here is this, is that we are constantly looking for the miracle to happen in our life. Amen? We need a miracle. We need the miracle of God in our life. We need God to come by in our life in a miraculous way. And Jesus here gives us a solution. And he says, look, if you want to recover your life, then come and spend time with me. But you're going to have to take that yoke that you've been carrying. You're going to have to take it off. You're going to have to let me take it off. How about that? Amen. It's interesting to me, if you look there in Corinthians where it talks about the nine gifts. And it talks about miracles. It's interesting. Because have you ever noticed that what he calls it there? He calls it the workings of miracles. He doesn't just call it the miraculous miracles, but he calls it what? The working. How many knows it's true? Without me going to it, how many knows it's true? I need five people who will witness that you've read that scripture and it's true. Amen. You know you're in trouble if you didn't read that scripture now. You know that, don't you? But it says the workings of miracles. I got to thinking about this. So why did he call it the working of miracles? I'll tell you why. Because someone has to walk around the city seven times before the walls come down. Amen? Someone has to speak to the mountain. Someone has to step out of the boat onto the waters that are tossed to and fro. Someone has to shout out to God, "O thou son of David, pass me not." Someone has to touch the hem of his garment. For the miracle to work, someone has to do something. God requires us to do something before the miracle is going to happen in our life. We want the miracle to happen. What we're used to is what we call, are you ready for this? If you're taking notes, are you ready? We call it this. We call them, let me get it here because I don't want to miss it. We call it, oh Jesus, I had it here in just a minute. Can you hold on? We call it spiritual accidents. They're not something that we have purposed, that we have reached out for. Most of us have experienced spiritual accidents. That means that sometimes we've come into service not expecting nothing, but the power of God is already there and God falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. God doesn't fall just on the people. And amen, many of us are surprised sometimes because we haven't prayed in a month. We haven't even looked at our Bible and all of a sudden God comes by and touches our life. That's a spiritual accident. Honey, you walked out in the middle of that spiritual bus and smack! That's called, you know what that's called? That's called grace, baby. That's called grace. You didn't do anything to deserve it. And so God comes along on these constant occasions in our life and we have these spiritual accidents. But what I want to say to you today, that's not how we want to live our life. But we've lived our life by spiritual accidents, hoping somehow that we get hit by that big spiritual bus. When he calls it the workings of miracles. See, you're going to have to stretch out. You're going to have to step out. You're going to have to shout to get what you need in your life. It's not fairy dust that floats out of heaven. It's not that we should have went left and we went right. That's the grace of God. God's grace is at work in our life. But I want to show you a more powerful ability of grace. That is that you grow in grace. You don't just stay in the place that you're at, but you grow in grace so that God can move through your life on a constant basis so that you're not just waiting for an accident to happen, but that what you're doing with purpose and intent, what you are doing is you're allowing God and His grace to develop an unforced rhythm in your life. And in that unforced rhythm in your life, you begin to move out and you begin to see God do things on a constant basis. And we stop this bad week, good week, bad week, good week, bad month, good month. Amen? See, we keep waiting for it to fall out of heaven. As we walk out His principles, we develop the unforced rhythm of grace. To bring forth the kingdom, you don't get healed because you deserve it. You don't get healed because you're worthy of it. Jesus earned Amen. All of this on Calvary. Jesus already paid the price. He paid the price for your sickness. He paid the price for your sin. And guess what, folks? He left you a legacy because He said you're a son of God. And if you're a son, that means in Romans He said you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And what He has left you is this beautiful legacy of power and grace and healing and salvation for our lives. And we have the legacy of a kingdom. And we're walking in the land of the impoverished. Why? When we have everything. You know what our issue is in the church? Our issue is we don't understand the difference between free and not free. Well, you know, wait a minute, brother. You know when you start preaching that free grace stuff? You start preaching that free grace stuff, people are going to start sinning more. Really? Can I tell you? I didn't understand grace. I didn't even understand God. And I can tell you, I had sin down pretty pat. It didn't take God coming into my life to teach me how to sin. That's why Paul said, seriously, if you get more grace, you'll sin more. That was his. Don't look at me like I said something strange. I'm telling you what Paul said. Paul said, you literally think that if the more we preach grace, the more you're going to sin. He said, God forbid. That's not even what this is all about. The truth is the more you preach grace, the more you declare grace, the more people come into the unforced rhythm of grace, the more they're not going to want to sin because they realize the great power they have in their life to obscure themselves away from any hint of sin. Because sin doesn't even abide in the heart that's filled with the grace of God. How in the world, man, can you compare grace with sin? Why would you? No, don't like grace. I'm going to take sin. That's somebody who's never experienced grace. See, that's why, listen to me, that's why there are people who stand here when they sing this song, "If You Hadn't Rescued Me." You don't have to come from darkness to understand the grace of God. How many realizes that when you understand the grace of God, you're like, you know, you're not here this morning for no other reason except that God made it possible. Amen? So Jesus left us this beautiful legacy of salvation and healing. See, what you believe, your earnest expectation to receive, what you believe, you begin to expect and you begin to attract. Amen? See, if you believe you're going to be hurt all the time, if you believe you're going to be rejected, if you believe that people are going to hurt you all the time and disappoint you, isn't it amazing what you attract to your life? I wish I could get a good woman, brother. There's not a whole lot of good women out there. Well, that's because you're hunting in the wrong place, brother. Because you're hunting for the wrong thing. And what you need to understand is this, that what you believe about yourself and what you believe in what you are searching is where your expectation will be. Turn to somebody and say, our mouths betray our expectations. See, remember the man at the gate, beautiful? Amen? Those that want, that wait upon the Lord, they shall what? They shall renew their strength. See, what are you waiting on? What are you expecting? Because what you are expecting is what you believe. Your expectation comes out of your belief system. Amen? That is where that you begin to develop. I want you to know, and I say this again, I've been saved for over 4 decades, but I sometimes I miss because of because of your circumstance. But I want you to know something. I read my Bible every day. Do I understand everything? No, I don't. I pray every day. Sometimes my prayer is intense. Sometimes my prayer is intimate. Sometimes my prayer is powerful. And sometimes it's, howdy God, I gotta go. Oh, I know. You want that mentality of, you know, the holy man, you know, done. No. You ain't putting me on that pedestal. No. I strive every day to learn the unforced rhythm of God. But what do you think the New Testament is about? What do you think the four Gospels is about? It is about revealing the unforced rhythm of grace in the life of Jesus Christ. When you look, are you listening? When you look at the life of Jesus, what you're looking at is the example of the unforced rhythm of grace. Amen? See, my expectations was born out of my belief that what God said, it's going to happen. That's why it works to the positive, it works to the negative. If I'm expecting people to hurt me, amen? What does the Bible say? Job, the thing that Job feared the most came upon him. Look at it. Even in his sacrifices, he was worried about his children, and he made the sacrifices hoping that it would cover him. Job feared losing everything he had. He feared losing his children. He feared it all. And the Bible says the thing that he feared most came upon him. That was his expectation. See, you draw what you respect. If you respect money, if you respect relationships, if you respect God, if you respect his house, amen? See, we've lost a lot of that in the house. We've lost a lot of that in church, and I don't want to get religious. Hear me now. I am not religious. You are. Everybody just say amen right now before I say anything else. Everybody say amen right now, because I want to be covered. I want to know that you agree with me no matter what. Let me tell you something. You ought to be thankful that you don't have the pastor 20 years ago. Do you have me now? You are getting the benefit of 40 years of experience and hardship. You've got 40 years of making a lot of mistakes before I got here. And because of that, I want you to know something. I know what works and what doesn't work. And I want you to know, darling, you can force them into a pen. You can force that pig, that sheep, that cow into a pen. But I want you to know something. That doesn't mean that you hold them. That's why it's called a pen. You don't want to try to pin people up. You want to give them that place. You want to be who God's called you to be. Me, Pastor, him, God. Me, Pastor, him, Holy Spirit. And I realize today is that my expectations cannot be in your flesh. My expectation needs to be in the God that's in you. Because my desire for you is that you would walk in the unforced rhythm of grace in your life. And that you would walk in the joy, the peace, the love of Almighty God on a constant basis. Allowing the power of God to overshadow your life. No matter what. Amen. You draw what you respect. Whatever you feed, you receive. Don't get mad because you're putting fish out on your back porch and you're attracting every stray cat that comes along. And then getting mad because they're messing all over your porch. Amen? Stop feeding the strays. If you want that thing to stop in your life, you want that person to stop coming around, then stop feeding them. Amen? The widow woman in 1 Kings. She fed the prophet. And what happened? The prophetic fed her. Whatever you feed is what will feed you. Say it with me. Whatever I feed will feed me. Whatever your value or you devalue is what you will attract. If you don't value a pastor, then you'll never know what it is to have a pastor. If you don't value the house of God, if we don't value what God has given us here, if we don't value, honey, I don't just value, I value time. I realize the older I get, time becomes a valuable commodity. And I don't waste my time with things that do not bring me a return. Are you listening to me? Some things you give knowing that it will never give you any return. But you don't spend all your time and all your money on things that won't bring you a return. Amen? I want to say this. Will you give me just 10 more minutes? I'm over. Amen? I want you to say, I forgive you already, Pastor. I'm not going to get mad at you. No, I don't believe some of you. I know you're going to. Amen. I forgive you right now in Jesus' name. See, you have to move from effect to cause. What does that mean? It means this. I am not the result of what people have done to me. That means that you live by effect and not live by cause. But for me to move to the next level, are you listening? Some of you are going to get this morning. To move to the next level, I have to believe I will cause whatever that is positive and strong in my life. I believe in my heart that wherever I am, I cause effect. Effect does not cause me. That means that when I'm standing, it doesn't matter. I do not determine what your mood is on Sunday or on Wednesday. I do not determine what the circumstances about me. God has called me into every situation in my life to be the cause for healing, for blessing, for miracles in people's lives. When I sit down with people, I believe this. God has called me to make a cause and to cause a different effect in their life. God doesn't call me to come into agreement with your sickness and your disease and your ills. God's called me to make an effect in your life. So to move to that next level, I have to believe that God has given me the ability to cause effect. Here are four things. I'm going to give you four things and I'm closing. These are four spirits that keep you out of the rhythm of unforced grace. Are you ready? It is the spirit of resistance. This is a hindering spirit. If you want the example, it's in Acts chapter 8 of where Philip was in Samaria. If you remember the story, the people could not even tell the difference. Listen now, the difference between the natural and the supernatural. Here's our problem in the church today. People come in and they can't tell the difference between the church and the world. They can't tell the difference between the natural and the supernatural. You remember the story? Simon, the sorcerer, had this kind of initial change. He was this powerful guy that, you know, kind of controlled the people. And the people looked at Simon and the apostles the same. Until the apostles laid hands on the disciples and they received the Holy Ghost. And Simon came to them and said, "Hey, baby. Hey. What do you want for this?" Are you listening to me? And the Bible says, what happened? Anybody remember? They broke him down. They said, "Your heart is evil." And from that point, the people began to see the difference between the natural. Because until they saw the real supernatural, they could not tell the difference between the two. And there was a hindering spirit that was always there trying to keep the move of God to a place. And I want you to know, one of the things that you will struggle with is a hindering spirit that will always work to hinder you from making forward progress. And the only thing that breaks that is the supernatural. I'm moving on. See, I used to believe, talking about the natural and the supernatural. See, I used to believe when I was a kid, there wasn't nothing better than a fried bologna sandwich. Man, I thought I was in pig heaven when Mama fixed a fried bologna sandwich with mustard and onion. And I want you to know something, there ain't nothing wrong with a fried bologna sandwich. And nobody loves a good fried bologna sandwich better than I do with some onion and some mustard and a good piece of cheese on. It's great, but you know what? I've tasted steak. I got some tenderloins in my refrigerator. When I fix those puppies melt in your mouth. And I want you to know something. There was never a time I put a piece of bologna, fried or unfried, in my mouth. It ever melted. There's a difference between bologna and steak. And there is a difference between the natural and the supernatural. And some of you have never experienced the supernatural. And you think you got it. You think you know it. But I'm here to tell you that there is a difference between the natural and the supernatural. And it would not behoove me. It would not profit me nothing. But to tell you is this, is that there is a greater blessing. There is something greater. There is something more powerful. And some of you that have experienced that blessing in your life, you need to let God renew the power of the Holy Spirit back into your life again. You think you have went too far. You think you are too old. You think you've already paid your dues. But I'm here to tell you that there ain't no dues to pay. There is just a life to live. And that is a life of the supernatural. A life that is of the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the problem is that the church has made the natural the status quo. When I am telling you that God wants to make the supernatural the natural in the body of Christ. Yeah. That's right. Put that in your pipe. Smoke it. Oh, you're blunt. Whatever you're doing now. A devouring spirit, number two. That's a spirit that comes behind you. A hindering spirit is that which stops your forward progress. But a devouring spirit is that which comes behind you that you cannot see. And it devours everything that you're working for. Everything that you're laboring for. I'm not joking about it. I'm not joking about pot. I'm not joking about marijuana. Don't be silly. Don't think. Be careful about when you're in a supernatural setting. God's not laughing at you. I'm just trying to make it to such to where that you hear what's going on in your life. Because no matter whether it's a blunt or whether it's a pill or anything else in your life, I am saying to you, the natural in no way can satisfy you. In no way can it lift you up. In no way can it give you peace. In no way can it give you joy. Honey, you're talking to the wrong person. There's not one thing you've tasted, tried, experienced, or experimented with that I haven't done and I haven't perfected. And I can tell you, I've been down, and every one of those spirits that have worked in my life, the hindering spirit that has kept me and said, you're not worthy because of the things that you've walked in and the things that you've lived in. You're not going to make any progress. But you've got to learn to come against that thing, bind it, and cast it down. And a devouring spirit is that thing that comes along and devours everything that you've worked for. Your work and your labor. And that thing comes along and it devours all your profit. It devours your harvest. Are you still with me? And then there's the spirit of delay. I'll deal with these later. Amen? Some of you are going to have to catch this. This can't be taught. Some of you are going to have to catch. It's the spirit of delay. That is, it's past time. That's what I talked about earlier. Things that God has meant for you. Amen? Do you remember Daniel prayed And the angel came and warred on his behalf. And God told him, he said, look, I sent you the answer 21 days. Can I be honest with you this morning? There are blessings that God has sent many of you. I sense it in my spirit, in my heart. You have given and you have done and you have labored and you have done over and over again. And you keep wondering, where is the return? Where is the answer? Maybe there's a spirit of delay that is working against you, trying to delay the blessing of God in your life. Still, and I believe this, that's why I hope deferred makes the heart sick. Because you hope in something. You believe in something. But here's what I still believe. Are you hearing me today? I still believe in the God of the suddenlies. I believe that when you think all is lost and all is past, suddenly, God is going to come upon your life. Want to know why? Because you haven't quit. Because you haven't stopped. Because God has wrapped up the answer for you. And if you don't believe that, you need to believe it. I like what Bishop Lanier said the other day, that the Word of God is wrapped up in the wound that is in your life. You don't focus on that wound, but know that God has a Word in the middle of that wound of your life. And then lastly, it's the spirit of the thief. It takes relationships. It takes our joy. It takes our money. Amen? Are you listening to me today? But here's the promise. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what that word there means? It means title deed. How many's ever bought a house? Now, maybe your circumstance is different, but you know what? They gave me the title before I ever got the house. Before I ever walked in it. Amen? Oh, I may have visited it. I may have looked at it. I may have walked through it. But they wouldn't let me move in until I had the title. The title deed. And God spoke to me to tell some of you this. Some of you are saying, where's the answer? And I'm saying, you already have the answer. You have the title deed. You have the title deed. And no matter what the enemy is saying to you right now, no matter whether he's telling you that you're not going to find an answer, that you're not going to get through this, that you're not going to find a way through this, but I am telling you that you maintain the unforced rhythms of grace in your life. You maintain spending time with God. Look, that is your key. That is the element that is the missing element for most of us. Spend time with the Lord. Spend time with Him, and you will recover your life. It is there. The enemy cannot get to you. He cannot find you in the Lord's presence. You have the title deed in your hand. And when the enemy comes to you and tells you that you cannot, you lift up the title deed to your faith and say, no, sir. God already said it's mine. And if I've got to wait for eternity, I'm going to wait to eternity because God cannot lie. He is not a man that He would lie. How many are holding to the promises of God? Stand to your feet right now, all over the building. Impatient. I went.